now together to just pause and reflect for a moment to feed our souls, not just our stomachs, to remember the reason for the season, as they say. So it's really great that you're here. This morning I'd like to spend a few moments with you basking in the joy of Christmas. The joy of Christmas. After all, it's the festive season, isn't it? That's what they call it. And there's so much that gives us cause for joy. We get to the end of the year, thank the Lord. School and uni finishes, we take holidays from work, things start to slow down, we start to relax, family and friends gather, we celebrate, we eat and drink and we're merry. It's great, isn't it? We love it. There's so much that gives us cause for joy. For us, in my family, there's a few particular things that bring us joy at Christmas time. As soon as it hits December 1, we like to put up our tree. The kids love that. And we have a series of Advent cards, which have Bible verses and activities, ranging from drinking hot chocolate to giving presents to those in need. We have our usual CDs, like everyone does, bring them out during Christmas time. And we like to tour around to see the Christmas lights, though it's slightly tricky with daylight savings. My wider family, we enjoy seafood at Christmas, particularly my dad's salt and pepper prawns. Looking forward to them. We love the chaos of presents and giving presents and that late afternoon Christmas nap when the kids have their presents and they play with them and they give the adults a rest. Joy abounds. It's fantastic. But friends, I want to say also that joy can be elusive. Joy can be really elusive. For all the joy that fills this season, joy can be so elusive, so slippery. It reminds me of an ad many years ago for SBC Fruit, where there's a kid and he's got a spoon and a bowl and he's eating fruit salad out of the bowl. Does anyone remember that? It's quite a while ago. He sort of names them as he goes. There's peach, a pear, pineapple. And he gets to the grape, but he can't get it with his spoon. So he grabs it with his fingers and he says, "Slippery little sucker." I reckon joy can be like that. It can be slippery. It can be elusive. I mentioned before that we like to put up our tree, and that's true. But I also dread it because more often than not, it ends in fighting. The kids fight about what decorations they want to put up. Our daughter Gabby was running around pulling things off as soon as we put them back up. Don't be fooled by our family photo. That's just manufactured joy right there. If you look closely, you can see the stress. Beck Shealy has been working at Maya as a Christmas elf for the Santa photos, and she was saying that parents bring their kids days before in the lead up to their photo to acclimatise their kids. Why? Well, because the old Santa photo never goes according to plan. More often than not, it ends in tears, not joy. More seriously, I was talking with a friend in the police. She works in the family violence unit. And she was saying that this time of year is awful. The normal routines change. Families get together. Old wounds open up. She dreads it. I talk about peace on earth. Not always. We don't always experience joy at Christmas, do we? Maybe for you, Christmas is more a time of stress and strain and pain. You know, with presents comes financial strain. With family comes fighting. With good food comes weight gain. And it's all over so quickly. Joy can be so superficial and temporary and elusive. There's so much joy over Christmas, and at the same time, joy is a slippery little sucker. But friends, I want to show you from God's word this morning that there is a joy that is not elusive. There is a real and deep and lasting joy available to anyone and everyone. And that joy is not elusive. Come back with me to the very first Christmas. Our passage from Luke chapter 2 oozes joy. You can follow along in your Bibles, or I'll put the verses on the screen. You can follow along on the screen. Let's set the scene. Verse 8. It's nighttime, it's dark, we're standing out in the open fields. There's some shepherds nearby, okay, regular, everyday farmers. They're keeping watch over their sheep, protecting them from wild animals and robbers. And it all seems like a regular, silent night. That's our setting. But of course, we know this is no ordinary night. Verse 9, suddenly an angel of the Lord appears to the shepherds, to them, regular, ordinary people that they are. And the glory, the brilliance, the radiance of the Lord shone around them. Okay, so it's not dark anymore. The countryside is lit up with the awesomeness of God Almighty. Now, understandably, our friends, the shepherds, are absolutely terrified. The phrase is literally, they feared a great fear. Heaven and earth meet. God and humankind come together. The shepherds are terrified, and so are we. In the presence of God himself, the right response is fear, because he's perfect, and we are not. He is righteous, and we are not. He is holy, and we are not. And so there's a problem for the shepherds and for us. But like I said, this passage is full of joy and grace. The angel speaks into this problem. Verse 10, we're going to dwell on this verse for a moment. Verse 10, do not be afraid. Fear not. Isn't that great? Full of comfort. And here's the good news, friends. Verse 10, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. And when heaven and earth meet, there's a divide, a barrier, a problem. But God, on that very first Christmas, delivers through the angel good news of great joy. Now, I'm not sure if you agree, but I reckon as a society, we don't see and experience joy that much. We're not really a very joyous people. Good news of great joy is maybe a bit foreign for us. You do see it in sport, I think, whether that's good or not. I'm a Swans supporter, and going back a few years, I remember the Swans taking out the premiership in 2005 against West Coast. I remember leaping Leo Barry taking a spectacular mark right before the siren to stop the Eagles' last-ditch effort, and we won, 58-54. And I can tell you in that moment, there was some joy. Aussies love their sport. It brings joy. But folks, that joy is so elusive. It's so temporary. It's so slippery compared to the good news of great joy announced by the angel to the lowly shepherds on that very first Christmas. And then in verse 10, the angel says, this good news of great joy is for all the people, for people who have been longing, for people who have been waiting. Joy dawned that night. So we're out in the countryside. The shepherds are with their sheep. The angel appears in radiant glory. We're faced with a jarring problem as heaven and earth meet, but the angel announces good news of great joy. You may have noticed we've gone from great fear to great joy. The next question is, though, what is this good news of great joy? What's the news that brings great joy? Listen in as the angel continues. Verse 11, here it is. And this joy is not elusive, friends. Verse 11, today in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. That is the source of real and deep and lasting joy. And at Christmas, we celebrate that God bridges the divide. He provides a solution to the problem. A Saviour. A Saviour has come. A Saviour is born. He's the long-awaited Christ, the promised one. He is the Lord, God himself, creator come into creation. Now, I'm not sure what you thought was the source of joy or what the source of your joy is. But God in the Bible makes clear that the source of joy is salvation. Being saved from our sin. Being rescued from our rebellion. Being delivered from the destruction that we deserve. The book of Luke constantly links salvation and joy together. And that all starts on the very first Christmas. Because the good news of great joy is that a Saviour, a rescuer, a deliverer is born. Like a never-ending spring of water, if you tap into salvation, joy overflows. Well, as we watch on, the countryside went from dark to light, and now things go from quiet to loud. Verse 13, in an instant, the sky is filled with light and song. Suddenly, a great company, the heavenly host, appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favour rests." Now, the angels know, don't they, that the birth of Jesus is infinitely significant and the source of great joy. And so they can't help but sing and praise God. Because if you're full of joy, that's what you do. Our story speeds up as the angels leave the shepherds. Verse 15, the shepherds have heard the message, and instead of just going back to their sheep watching, they huddle together and they decide to go to Bethlehem to see this thing that has happened. So verse 16, they hurry off. And so we run with them. You know, this is good news of great joy. We find Mary and Joseph and the baby, not in a palace surrounded by pomp and ceremony, but lying in a feeding trough of all things. Just as the angel said, a humble saviour come for the everyday, regular people of this world. When they had seen him, verse 17, what did they do? How did they respond? Verse 17 says, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And that's what you do with good news of great joy, isn't it? You tell anyone and everyone who will listen. In the world of Facebook, it's always the baby announcement that gets the most likes, isn't it? That's because babies are good news to be shared. The shepherds did the work of Facebook on that very first Christmas, but on a whole different level. The Saviour of the world was born, and so the shepherds spread the word, and people pressed like, or maybe love. Of course, it started well for Jesus, but if you look at the timeline of Jesus' life, people pressed like or love when he was born, but at the other end of his life, people were hitting wow and sad and angry. Ridiculed and rejected by everyone, including you and me, the life of Jesus ended on the cross. But that's what it meant for Jesus to be the Saviour of the world. He saved us by dying in our place. That was the announcement on that very first Christmas. He saved us by taking the punishment we deserved. That's what was promised. That's how he saves us. And if you get that, it really is good news of great joy for all people, worth spreading far and wide. Well, finally, the shepherds return home, verse 20, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had seen, heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. It's a great little account. We've seen the humble, quiet setting, the sudden fear-inducing problem, the solution of good news that brings great joy, and then the response of the shepherds. The shepherds get it. They really get it. Joy is not elusive for them. They were told the good news of great joy about the Saviour, the Christ, the Lord, and they went from hearing to believing. And friends, I want to say that joy is not elusive for you either. Joy is not elusive for you. When all is said and done this Christmas, when all the wrapping is in the bin, when all the dishes are finally clean, when your stomachs are full and you're satisfied, joy is not elusive. Joy is still possible for you. And it's not just because Boxing Day follows Christmas. Now, joy may seem elusive in life, but the joy of salvation is the real and deep and lasting joy that God offers us, not just at Christmas time, but any time, to anyone. No matter who you are, no matter what you've done, you can receive joy by wholeheartedly believing in Jesus, just like the shepherds did. Let me say that again. You can receive joy by wholeheartedly believing in Jesus. If you are a believer, but joy still seems elusive, can I encourage you to keep coming back to the good news of salvation in Jesus? Because salvation in Jesus is a spring that overflows with joy. Other sources of joy are slippery little suckers. In the end, joy dawned that night, long ago, and the sun has been shining ever since. Joy is not elusive, friends. Joy is in Jesus. I'd love to pray with you. How about we pray together? Heavenly Father, thank you so much for an opportunity to pause and to hear you speak to us in the Bible. Father, thank you so much for this announcement, this good news of great joy. Father, we recognize that so often in life we're seeking for some sort of joy, but it's slippery and it's elusive. Bring us back, please, to the real, deep and lasting joy that is in Jesus and salvation that is in him. Father, with all the good things that we enjoy this Christmas time, remind us of the greatest gift, the greatest source of joy. Please help us in the busyness of everything to wholeheartedly believe in Jesus and know that joy forever. And we pray in his name. Amen. Merry Christmas, everyone.